Hello again, welcome to the program. We're here in our second in this series, Can I Lose My Salvation? Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That sounds like I can lose my salvation. We're looking at understanding seeming contradictions in the Bible. Now in our previous message, Jesus said, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then Paul said in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now, in understanding the Bible, it doesn't matter what subject we're talking about, what chapter we're in, the most important thing we got to start with is looking at it in context. In context means to consider together with the surrounding words or circumstances. Out of context means without the surrounding words or circumstances, and so not fully understandable. So Jesus said again, I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at the context. Who is talking? It's very obvious. The one doing the talking here is Christ. Who is he talking to? Matthew 5:1-2, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. So he is obviously the one doing the talking, and his disciples, those 12, but just those and no more, is who he's talking to. So, yeah, again, go back to verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. Today we say, seeing the multitude, let's get a campaign together and reach that multitude. No, Jesus said, I'm going to have to spend some time up here with you, and as we said, it's 3 chapters, teaching you how we're going to reach the multitude. When and where did this take place? As we've seen here, it took place on a mountain. And then in Matthew 8:1, when he was come down from the mountain. So the context, if we want to learn what it's talking about when it's talking about the kingdom of heaven or their righteousness exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, we have to look at it within the context of Matthew 5 until the end of Matthew 7, where in verse 8:1, he was come down from the mountain. We have to look at the whole thing. The word kingdom occurs 56 times in the book of Matthew alone. The verses that we'll look at below are obviously referring to the kingdom that was promised to the nation of Israel. Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, he's not talking about salvation. That was always at hand. I mean, Nehemiah got saved, Elijah got saved, Abraham got saved. He's not talking about getting saved. In Matthew 4:17, we read Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Once again, salvation was always at hand. Jesus mentioned the kingdom 9 times during his message on the mountain from Matthew 5 until the end of Matthew 7. 9 times. Consider the following examples. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 8:12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is obviously not talking about heaven. Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. There's no violence in heaven. The kingdom in these verses is not referring about going to heaven. Well, what about the fact that Jesus said those who do the will of the Father will enter heaven? Did he say that? Let's read it. Matthew 7:21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, comparing Scripture with Scripture, we can learn what the will of the Father is. The phrase will of God occurs 23 times in the New Testament. Lots to compare with. we must also determine what the kingdom of God refers to. The phrase "the kingdom" occurs 47 times in the book of Matthew alone. Is it heaven or is it Israel's literal kingdom? In order to determine what is being said, to get it in its context, we'd have studied all three of those chapters. Now let's go back to verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Now notice, we have the kingdom of heaven and heaven. One has to do with a kingdom for the nation of Israel, and that other one has to do with where God was at the time. He was in heaven. Two different places. And so, consider the following verses concerning the will of God. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Luke 13:5, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Acts 17:30, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Now there's those in our so-called fundamental movement who some years ago said, "You don't need to repent, that's the enemy of soul winning." That's heresy to say that. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Not going to heaven unless you do. And why isn't there an uprising about this? Because we're living in an age of apostasy when most fundamental independent Baptist preachers are so concerned about upsetting someone in their little box. No, it's time to get out of your box and into the Bible. Didn't Jesus say we need to endure to the end to be saved? Matthew 24:13, "But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." Saved from what? Matthew 24:13, in its context, has nothing to do with being saved to go to heaven. It has nothing to do with being saved so as to go to heaven. I'm going to say that one more time. It has nothing to do with being saved so as to go to heaven. The scriptures below are but a few that we have that deal with Israel being saved from her enemies. Numbers 10:9, "Saved from your enemies." 2 Samuel 19, "Saved out of the hand of our enemies." 2 Samuel 22, "So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Nehemiah 9:27, "Saved out of the hand of their enemies." Psalm 18:3, "Saved from mine enemies." Psalm 44, "Thou hast saved us from our enemies." 1 Samuel 4, "Save us out of the hand of our enemies." 7 and 8 of 1 Samuel, "Save us out of the hand of the Philistines." 1 Chronicles 16:35, "Save us from the heathen." Psalm 106:47, "Save us from among the heathen." This is but a few of references where it's talking about being saved that has nothing to do with going to heaven. And Matthew 24:13, where it says that he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved, it has nothing to do with going to heaven. What it has to do with? Well, study it and find out. Do we need to observe, do we need to overcome to be saved? We read in Revelation 3:5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." So if we don't overcome, is he going to blot out my name? In order to understand this portion of Scripture, and all portions of Scripture, we must examine them within the context in which they appear. I think I've said that before, and I will say it again because it's so important. So what is the context of Revelation 3:5? Well, we'll go back to verse 1 of Revelation chapter 3, and we read, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead." Now, first of all, God did not write to the church congregation. He wrote to the pastor. What's it say? Unto the angel. The word means messenger of the church in Sardis. He's talking to the pastor. All of the comments in all seven letters that we find to the churches in the first part of the book of Revelation, all of them are addressed to the pastor of each church. To the pastor of Sardis, the Lord said, "Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." Not talking about the congregation. Now, they're going to be what he is. They're after their kind, the Bible says in Genesis. So they will be. Obviously, the word dead is used as a metaphor. So, Revelation 3:2, what did he say to this pastor? "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." The word watchful means to wake up. The same Greek word is translated wake in 1 Thessalonians 5:10. The pastor was warned to wake up and strengthen the things remain that are ready to die. Look at verse 3. "Remember," he's talking to the pastor, "therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour that I will come unto thee." He's talking to the pastor. Revelation 3:4, "Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments." Now he focuses on the congregation. "Those few in the congregation, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." And what does the Bible say? "While men slept," Matthew 13:25, "but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." We usually see little pictures of this, and some fall out in the field sowing tares among the wheat in the field. It's not what it says. What it says is he comes and he sows tares among the wheat. He doesn't sow it in the field. He sows it in the wheat bag while the pastor's sleeping. When the pastor wakes up, he takes the wheat bag full of tares and takes it out into the field, which represents the world, and the pastor sows the tares while the devil laughs at him. While men slept. That's why it says, "Wake up, pastor." Romans 13:11, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." And so, I'm a pastor. How convicting this is. You look at this and say, "Hey, am I asleep? Is there some issues I should be dealing with?" Yes. I'm. If the Lord shows them to me, am I willing to deal with them? I hope so. I think I am. I pray that I am. How about you? Be sure to be with us for our next message as we continue in this series.